Warmest welcome everyone to a new episode of the Business and Dreams podcast. Today I am really excited for you actually, because we will do something we have never done before, and that is to release some exclusive material from inside our Business and Dreams members club. So as you may know, we have some very inspiring speakers that have been guests in Business and Dreams members club, and we really want to give you kind of a sneak peek of some of what we do inside the club. So we decided to release a part of Sara Wimmercrantz, her webinar with us. It's so inspiring. I remember when I listened to it and like the energy I had afterwards, I felt like I could take over the world basically. I was so happy and excited and inspired. And that's why we really want to share this, so that hopefully you can feel the same way and also get a sneak peek of what's inside the club. So today you get kind of half that webinar. So if you're curious to get the full episode, the full webinar, then we will leave some info in the show notes. And before we start listening to that, I want to say something, and that is that we have something you absolutely cannot miss. So the 22nd to the 24th of April at 6 p.m. set time, we have a 3-day challenge. Maybe you've heard us talk about it before. So basically what it is that it's a money mindset challenge. During 3 evenings, we will talk about money mindset, about goal setting, and how you can work with your passion full time while also getting all that freedom that you desire. Maybe you want to earn lots of money, you want to work from maybe Bali or south of France, and you want to maybe have control over your own time, then this challenge is perfect for you. So I will put the info in the show notes. Make sure to sign up. This can really be life-changing. Let me just tell you before I start this episode with Sarah that we had a participant, Linnea, she's called, and she did this session with us, and we encouraged everyone to set a big goal. We call it the unicorn goal, so a very big goal within money. And she set one, a bigger goal than she has ever set before. And just about 1 month afterwards, after the session, she had fulfilled that goal, and she was shocked. She's like, how did this happen? And this can happen for you too. So join our challenge and let's make the most out of it. I will put, as I mentioned, the info in the show notes, so make sure to sign up right away. So with that said, let's listen to this webinar with Sara Wimmercrantz. Sara has been a role model to both Camille and I for such a long time. And yeah, we were just filled with excitement when you said yes, that you could do this. So just briefly, Sara started a company a few years ago, which is called Footway, a really successful e-commerce company that scaled to very many millions in revenue. So really successful. And after that, she has started a venture capital firm, which is called Back in Minds. And I'm actually so impressed and inspired what you and Susanna Jaffe are doing there, because I myself and Camilla, we have been in the venture capital industry. There are a lot of like, you know, very stereotypical entrepreneurs and investors, and you invest in entrepreneurs outside these norms. So for example, women or other ethnicities. So I just love what you're doing with Back in Minds. And now you're also part of Draknestet and investing in entrepreneurs there. So many exciting things that you do. And I just want to say also, on top of that, I'm so inspired by you as a person also, because you're so humble, so value-driven. I love on your Instagram that you're using like secondhand clothes. I just love that. It's so refreshing, I think. And also the fact that you're here today and taking the time. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm super excited. And I see the number just got increased to 63. So welcome, everybody.
So much fun. So as I mentioned, you're doing so many exciting things, but I want to rewind a little bit and talk about your journey with the company Footway, because I'm so curious about that journey, and maybe if you have any insights on how that company got so successful as it became.
Yeah. So firstly, I mean, I'm going to talk so much about team, because team, not my biggest success factor is definitely team, and also I guess I have I must be pretty like skilled on actually choosing the team, because that's been that has been the biggest differentiator for me during my whole career. So we were actually teamed together from all of us were working at the company called Lensway, who was a pioneer within internet, and we looked for the next thing that would happen in internet. And now it seems old, but back then it was practically impossible to order shoes online. Like the real success stories was, of course, the obvious ones, books and lenses and things that you could easily just order. And we saw that this has been had been growing in this in the US, and we were like, so we'll have to go for this. And of course, as with all e-commerce companies, the hurdle is pretty high because you need so much capital to build a warehouse. So we actually raised like millions and millions before just starting the company. And that was actually my first, you know, contact with this industry. And that was crazy. So I met like my first investors I met playing poker. And already back then, I started thinking about the venture capital industry, but let's go back to that later on. So what we did correct, we made so many mistakes, but what we did good with Footway was already in the beginning thinking really, really big. And I want to talk so much about this because I very rarely talk about differences between like men and women. This is something that I see a little bit more seldom with women. It's like thinking super big from day one. Like, how will I be able to have a revenue of 1 billion? What people do I have to hire? What technology do I have to build? What do I have to do today to actually make sure this company can scale? And it's super different from just like, you know, putting layers and layers on. Like, will you have a revenue of 50 or 1 billion? It's very, very different. So I think that was something we did very good. And compared to the journey that my co-founder had with Lensway, where they started in the garage, practically speaking. So we were like, okay, so what technology we have to, what platform, what CMS system, everything do we need to buy now to be able to scale to 1 billion? What employees? What culture? Because it's like super easy with employee number 4 to say, yeah, you can live in Västerås and you can have a lease car and you can have this and that. But when you talk about that for the employee 150 and you have 150 different solutions, it's not scalable. So scalable is very much about doing everything super simple. Because what is simple when you have 2 employees is all of a sudden complicated when you have 200 employees. So it has to be understood and super simple for everybody. So that's one thing we did very good. We made some mistakes too, but if you want me to talk about them, I can do them too. But of course, we had some really, really good luck with the timing, because in bad times like we have right now, you can either get really, really depressed or you can think, this is the time for me. Because I will be the closest to my customer, and this will probably be the time for my competition to fall away if they're not good enough. So we actually had in the bad times that we had a possibility to buy our biggest competitors in Sweden, because they all of a sudden, one of them was running out of money and the other one was struggling for other reasons. And so we could buy them really, really cheap. So that was super good, but then we kind of undervalued the competition coming from Germany, you know. When Zalando came, it shaped and changed the market in one night. I don't know if you remember, but they were actually only selling shoes when they launched. So that was like a pure competitor of ours. And what they did was that they had so much money to spend on marketing, so they didn't have to care about the marketing spend. They did not care about ROI. They did not care about how much they got for every crown they spent here, which made it super hard for us to survive. So over one night, everything changed, and we had like the marketing spend, the cost of marketing just skyrocketed for us. But that was also like the most important time, because we understood two things. One is the customer relation is not really a cost. It's a passion. So if you're really, really passionate about making sure your customer like what you're doing, you have an advantage. Because a lot of competitors would actually work more with money. And we saw that every day from Zalando, that they, you know, like they could plan things like, how can we hide a button for returns? So we can keep the customer's money for another 5 days. Mm. How can we make it harder for, like, it's just like they work with money and we work with customers. And I think that was one of the reasons us still, you know, being here. And the other one was actually deciding to only focus on one product, instead of becoming something for everyone and everything, like Zalando is right now. Because it's much easier to grow a brand if we're just super focused. It's like, okay, Footway, isn't that a company that sells shoes online? Yeah, it is. It's as simple as that. We have everything, you know. So it was just a few glimpses from that journey.
Wow, this was so inspiring to hear. I was like 1 or 10% focused in everything you said. It's so interesting. But I want to talk about what you said there, because I think it's so important to think in like scalable terms from the beginning. So if you want to build a big company, what do you have to have in place to enable that? Can you maybe talk about some things that are important for entrepreneurs in our network to really have in place from start to enable that growth?
Yeah, totally. So mindset is super important. As I said, like, think big. It's just like you can just like count back. If you put a really, really high goal, okay, what do I need to do now? What do I need to do year one? Because that's so easy to just like, you know, put your plan there. That's one thing. And then I think it's like, it's actually your ability to build simple and effective structures around everything. Mm-hmm. What takes 1 minute now takes 10 minutes when your revenue is higher, if you don't build it very, very simple. And that comes to everything from technology to administration, making sure you know where everything is. This seems so boring when you just started, you know, to just, you know, make sure you know where your paperwork is, make sure you have it all in so much order you can take in an investor any day to look at your files. It seems so boring day one, but you get so much back later on when having that kind of control on your admin. Mm. And I think it's also very important to think about prioritizing, because it's like you will always have a list of 100 to 200 things that seem super important. That's how it is to build companies. And now you have to have a way to evaluate what to prioritize first. Because you will just be able to do maybe 3 to 10 things at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. So for us, it was a way of prioritizing, was always like asking each other, so, okay, so how does that help the customer right now? Mm-hmm. So I mean, just to give an example, when we looked at the product roadmap or like what kind of technology to build, you know, you have, if you work with developers, they have all these really cool features and a lot of gadgets and devices and, you know, everything is just like, wow, so many things happening there. And then being the one, the really boring one in the room saying, okay, so how will that improve for our customer today? So a lot of things that you have on that list wouldn't improve for the customer at all, or maybe not in 2 years. So that's like, for us, that was a guideline. So I think that's three examples of how to scale. But team is key also, of course.
Love that. And you talked about maybe some insights also that you got from this journey. Would you like to share some of those maybe as well?
Like more insights? Like what are you thinking about?
You mentioned like you said mistakes maybe.
But yeah,
like,
sure. I kind of mentioned one, I think, then, you know, undervaluing competition. And not seeing what your competition is or where it can come from and how it will, you know, work was probably one of the roughest things. That's probably that's probably the thing that when we talk in the team, like now I'm not operative at Footway since 2016. So I totally want to emphasize that everything that has happened the last 5 to 7 years is not me. It's someone else. So, but that's like, I think that's the one that other people can learn most from is undervalued competition.
Yeah, and I think there is common to kind of ignore the competition as well, because we kind of scared to look at them. But I mean, having competitors is a good sign, because that is like a good market that you're in. So I fully agree with you. It's so important to study your competitors and see, you know, what your customers want, really. So I love that.
Yeah. And I mean, do your own thing. I think that I read a book saying don't be the chimpanzee. I mean, just going after everyone else. But make sure you know who your customer competition is, what your competition looks like, and also try to be the closest to the customer and actually understand that competition makes you become better. It's a way of saying on you know, being on your toes and being ready for everything. I think it's a good thing, as you said.
Totally agree. And okay, and then you transitioned into a venture capitalist. Could you maybe share a little bit about that journey?
Yeah, and this is something that I just want to bring out to everybody. Like, if you see a problem, solve it. It's that easy. Like, so for me, Susan, my co-founder, that's something that differs us from most people. Already when I was a kid, I was like, oh no, now I have to take care of this problem. It was not for someone else somewhere else. It was for me. So if you look at my career, maybe not. I mean, selling shoes, you shouldn't overvalue the impact it has on the world. But, you know, it's like, so while building these companies, me and Susan, she also built another e-commerce companies. We saw the flaws in the market of capital. And it's super easy. It's just like on a very high statistic level. The problem is the entrepreneurship looks so differently. It's like 33% are women. 28% have immigrant background. 74% of all companies are actually outside of Stockholm, but still the capital remains in the city center. I'm talking like a few streets in Stockholm. And we have 200 men practically who make these investment decisions. And okay, why is that a problem? It becomes so much more boring to be an entrepreneur if you have the wrong, you know, background. But it's also a way of us to prevent people from solving our biggest problems. Like, we really need technology, we need innovation, we need entrepreneurship to solve our biggest problems. And as long as we just put the money on a few people in the city center of Stockholm, that will never happen. So it's like a huge problem for society. And it's also like a way of not having the progress in equality that we need, right? So this is a huge problem. But for me and Susan, the more we kind of learned about the statistics, the more we saw it as a business opportunity. Because then if you build something different, then you can find the deals. You can probably get into the deals pretty, like at a pretty low valuation, and then you can like help them, build them, and then sell them more expensive. It's like super simple economy. So we drive change, but we also have a really, really good return on our investments. And you know, when we started thinking about that, okay, can we really become investors? I mean, we have never done this before. And then the answer was like, but I mean, the ones in the industry don't have it figured out either. You know, it's like Pippi Longstockings, right?
Yeah.
Never done it, so I guess I'm able to do it. It's like, it was that easy. So we decided to do it. We already knew what companies we wanted to invest in. And then after a few weeks, we had a few people who believed in us, and then we had a fund. I mean, it was some hard work, but it's just like, that's how easy you can just, okay, I see a problem, I want to solve it. Surround you with the right skills, people, and people who believe in you. And then you have a, you know, venture capital firm all of a sudden. Yeah.
All right, so that was about half the webinar with Sara Wimmercrantz. We hope that you enjoyed this part of the webinar. And again, if you're curious to listen to the full webinar, then we have left ad info in the show notes, so go check it out. And also, don't forget to join our 3-day challenge, the 22nd to the 24th of April. It's gonna be amazing. So with that said, thank you so much for tuning into our episode today, and have a beautiful week. Bye bye.